In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, that was quite a business, wasn't it?
We've had technical gremlins.
If only the listeners knew our determination on a Sunday night to make this happen.
It was really impressive. I felt like you were right at the end of your rope and you were about to bail.
God, that's interesting. You were right.
Does this bode well for your mood over the course of this chatteroo then?
No, my mood's transformed now. I'm talking to you and all the technology seems to be working and I'm not gonna touch it and mess it up. We've got so many technology issues. I dropped my phone in the mud. You were deeply unsympathetic when I couldn't charge it.
Well, you sent me a message saying that you dropped your phone in the mud. So I sent you a message back saying, classic Ed, because I thought that's what you wanted. But then you seemed aggrieved that I hadn't shown the appropriate level of sympathy.
Well, I was on 1%. I chose to spend some of my 1% in sending a message to you in case I could never reach you again.
What happened?
I dropped the phone in the mud, and then the mud obviously dried, and then it wouldn't sort of charge.
Did you Google what to do in that circumstance?
I didn't know, but I got a nail, which then sort of got the mud out. It's slightly temperamental, but it seemed to more or less do the trick.
I did check online what you should do in this situation, and there was no definitive answer. But quite a lot of people said to immerse your phone in lukewarm water.
Well, I used the nail option and it seems to be modestly successful.
I think it's a sticking plaster.
Well, maybe that's true. I shall report back.
What were you doing in the mud, by the way?
I was going out for a walk in the countryside. So, did you read the New York Times article I sent you?
The one about apologising?
No, actually.
Oh, no, which
you're
one?
Welcome. The one about like. Basically, they found a recording from the 1950s and nobody said like.
Oh, how interesting. So the word like wasn't every other word like it is now?
No, I mean, it's genuinely sort of interesting. I think I must have known that. So the article is titled, Where Did Our Strange Use of Like Come From? By John McWhorter. And some months ago, one of my readers sent me an invaluable cache of recordings of family members during therapy sessions in the 1960s, 60s or 50s. They're ordinary, seemingly educated, white Northeasterners, ranging from their late 20s to late middle age, speaking casually. What stands out today, 60 years later, is how often they pause briefly when they talk. Their speech sounds almost herky-jerky to the modern ear. The reason their speech sounds somewhat odd in that way is that today people like those on the recording would fill many of those pauses with like. And then basically they weren't filling them with like. And then he's trying to work out where did like come from. He ends the piece, though, I don't know whether this speaks anything to you, because I vaguely remember it from my childhood. He ends the piece by saying, the casual like is just business as usual with the evolution of language, and that evolution often confounds. In the 1990s, I asked a man close to 100 years old, was there anything he'd noticed about the way young people talked back in the 1920s? His answer, people said, you know, too much.
Yes. You and I both do that.
Do we still do that?
Yes, and I know this from editing the podcast.
Like, you know. You know, I think it was something that I did very much when I was growing up. I vaguely remember it being a thing that people said a lot of, you know, kind of like, sort of. They're all in the same category, aren't they?
Yeah, kind of and sort of are other big ones. So it's about the evolution of filler words. To some extent, it's another way of saying
Yeah.
It's something to do with your verbal processing.
I think like is an Americanism, but I've noticed my kids use it. I think it came over from America somehow.
Cultural imperialism.
Maybe. Now, I wanted to raise this because I have a particular evolution of language thing which I wanted to ask you about.
Mm.
If somebody asked you something, and by the way, I want to prefigure this by saying this is not an accusation against you, because to my knowledge, you've never said this to me, although maybe you have. And somebody asked you something, can you do X? And the reply was, yep.
Mm.
Y-E-P.
Mm.
What's your reaction to that?
I think yep is better than yup, Y-U-P. I think the yup is very dismissive. I think yep isn't great.
Yep is not great.
I can cope with a yeah, but I really dislike it when people spell yeah without the A. That comes across as very curt to me.
But you see, it's so interesting, isn't it? When did this evolution of yep? Because it must be a text message phenomenon. Because I don't remember yep being, maybe it was a sort of way of sort of passive aggressive yes in the days before SMS. But it is interesting, isn't it? I had not come across yup. I mean, yup does sound bad.
Yeah. One that you do with some frequency is fine, which from anybody else is very passive aggressive. But I don't think you mean it like that.
I really don't, I don't think. Not as bad as yep.
Not as bad as yet, but if I get just the word fine as a reply, it's like, fine, it's a little curt.
So basically, hang on, let's just do the declension here. What's the descending order of sort of aggressiveness?
So it has to. This all has to be one-word answers, right?
Correct, correct, correct. No, but they're all in the affirmative, yes.
Okay, so I think yes is probably fine. The best.
Yeah, it's fine.
Then, yeah, spelt correctly. With an A.
And an H.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Then yep.
Yep.
then I think it's then I think it's yup. And then the worst one is yeah, like Y-E-H without the A. Because that just feels like a grunt.
That's controversial. I don't think I've got a line of sight on Y-E-H.
How comfortable are you with the one-word reply in the first place?
Yeah, I think the one-word reply is okay. Maybe you're raising a whole other sort of set of issues.
Because I feel that to be polite, it needs to be a yes, comma, that's great, or yes, comma, that's fine. What about the little reactions where you hold your finger down and you can get a thumb up? See, I don't mind those. I feel that they've invented those to help us out of this quagmire.
Well, I think that might be right. I think I am in a sort of middle-aged person adaptation to these single finger, you know, thumbs up things. I find them generally slightly like, are you sure you can't be bothered to spell out a word? But I think that might be just a sort of non-digital native reaction. I think you're right. I might be coming round to them.
Yeah. I mean, it is very interesting to me to hear what it must be like for a man of your age, because I found out this week, Ed, that I have the lungs of a 46-year-old man. Well, I did a spirometry test because I'm getting very out of breath. And
sorry to hear it.
And I wanted to eliminate anything scary, which I have done.
Well, that's a relief.
It is a relief. As it turns out, I'm just getting out of breath because I'm very unfit and overweight. But as far as my lungs go, the lungs of a 46-year-old man. Can you imagine what a great thing to hear at the age of 50 that was?
See, the funny thing is about it. I'm sorry to rain on your parade. If I was thinking, well, it's only 4 years younger than you are.
Have you got any suspicion about your own lung age?
Well, can't believe we're having this conversation. my watch, I'm one of these people for gadgets, has a thing called VO2 max, which is your thumb lung capacity, and I have an excellent score.
Really?
Yeah, excellent. But I think it might just be misleading.
Well, I've had mine properly checked by the experts.
So that is, like, reassuring.
I think so, yeah.
Can I just ask you a question? If you were more fit, let me just be very sort of careful about the way I put this, would it go down from 46?
I don't know. I don't know if you can reduce your lung age. But I'm happy because you hear of people going to the doctors and they're told that they've got the lungs of a 70-year-old man when they're in their 40s. So I'm quite proud. I thought that was an achievement. And I feel that you have rained on my parade.
I have slightly, haven't I, rained on your parade. But I think it's good. Look, at least you're batting below your, above your average.
Yeah.
What delta did they recommend to you?
Well, what do you think they recommended to me?
Get a bit more fit.
Move your body more, change what you eat.
Now, you've got something else to report.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about this article you sent me from the New York Times about how to apologize like you mean it. My first question is, what were you trying to convey in sending me this article?
Really, I just thought it would be good material for us to talk about. I genuinely, and I would tell you if this is not the case, genuinely wasn't me saying you apologize badly. I thought you'd think something sort of slightly peculiar about why I was sending it to you.
I thought it was because you felt that I wasn't appropriately sympathetic about your phone being dropped in the mud.
No, but I sent it before the phone dropped in the mud.
Okay.
I thought it was just quite a useful thing for life.
Do you consider yourself to be a good apologiser?
Not after reading this article. So basically, here are the principles. The ingredients of a successful apology can vary, but here are the ones that many experts agree on. Express regret. Do not say, I want to apologise, I would like to apologise. Simply say, I apologise.
I'm not sure about that one.
Explain, but keep it brief.
Uh-huh.
Skip justifications and excuses. But this should not be to make us feel better or defend our actions. This is Lisa Leopold, a researcher who studies apologies. While you're explaining, avoid conditional words, which can weaken the apology. E.g., I apologise for the delay, but I had multiple deadlines to meet. Acknowledge any harm you've caused. Say you'll try not to do it again. Offer to repair. Ask for forgiveness. Do you think you meet those criteria? I don't think I do particularly.
I will never apologise just for the sake of it. Sarah will apologise when she doesn't mean it just to try and restore some kind of equilibrium. Whereas if, to my credit, if you get an apology from me, I mean it. It is a sincere apology.
You're getting some. Is that what you're saying?
But there are some things in this article that don't make very much sense to me. So, for example, she says, don't say, oh, I'm sorry it took so long to get back to you, but I've been really busy. But at the same time, she says, explain. So the I've been really busy is the explanation, right?
That's a good point.
Also, when she says, don't use language like, I want to apologise or I would like to apologise, my feeling is that adds a sense of gravitas to the apology. You're giving a little run-up to the apology. Listen, I want to apologise. To me, sounds better than I apologise. No?
It was thought-provoking.
Who's better at apologising in your household?
Clearly my wife. I think that is the right answer.
Yeah.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Anybody's got any thoughts on apologies or on language or fine, they can email us, can't they?
Yeah. So for you, what constitutes a good apology? We could also do, have you got a piece of technology that you have almost destroyed, but it is still working? What is the worst thing that you've done to your phone?
What is the thing that somebody texts you that really annoys you?
Yes. And the hierarchy of yup, yep, yeah, yes. Fine. We should try and sort that out for once and for all, shouldn't we?
I think the yeps need to be avoided, really.
Okay, well, there we go. That's a rule. All we ever need is a rule. chat@cheerfulpodcast.com.
This came from Layla Kelly. Dear Ed and Jeff, according to my mum, in the 1920s, my great-grandpa sent a postcard from Cromer to London. that arrived on the day that he sent it. Good thing too, because it read home on the 4:45. Tippers for tea, please.
Wow. Firstly, where is Cromer? Excuse my ignorance.
You're just so ignorant, Jeff.
Then where is it?
Cromer is in North Norfolk.
Oh, it's not that place that's 23 miles north of Norwich, 116 miles northeast of London, is it? Just to the east of Sheringham on the North Sea coastline?
Is Cromer on the shipping forecast?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, Cromer is not on the shipping forecast, sorry.
But the point being that in those days you could post a letter and it would arrive on the same day, even if it wasn't within London, which is what we were talking about last week.
Well, I mean, isn't that amazing?
Yes, incredible. And by way of a contrast, she says, a couple of years ago, I received letters one day in October that had been sent in February, April, May, June and August.
Well, there you go. I'm just trying to work out. He sent it home by 4:45. I mean, has to get there before him. That's why I don't understand. He could have sent it in the morning and only left later on. This could be an urban myth.
Maybe. I mean, there's no mention of a carrier pigeon in the email there, is there?
Or in the 1920s, what would have been the train, presumably?
Yeah. Which is how the mail would have been travelling as well.
Well, maybe he was on a later train.
Uh-huh.
Well, Layla, we might need more details. We might need the train timetable.
Speaking of trains,
yeah,
I did you a little quiz. You sent me the list of the names for the new London Overground lines.
Yeah.
I like some more than others.
To us, I like the idea of the lines. I use the Overground from Gospel Oak occasionally. And, okay, you say the train to Clapham, the train to Richmond, but I think having the lines is like a good idea.
So what is your line going to be called then?
Oh, I don't know. No idea.
Because there's like the Weaver, the Lioness, the Suffragette, the Mild May. Some of them are a bit on the nose, but I like the spirit behind them.
I think it was a poll, wasn't it, that did it?
Oh, is that what it was? Why aren't they all called Liney McLineface then?
Yeah, well, that's true. Like, maybe it wasn't a poll. It was something.
So inspired by you sending me an email about train lines, I've got a higher, lower train stations by passenger numbers, busiest train stations.
Honestly, they should bring back Play Your Cards Right and you should be the presenter.
I think so, yeah. So Doncaster, I thought we'd start with the most appropriate, your constituency, 3.64 million passengers a year, but is Dundee higher or lower?
Lower.
Yes, 1.45.
Yes. So
1.45. What about my hometown of Macclesfield? It's on the main line to Manchester Piccadilly.
No, but you're trying to sort of trick me here. Lower.
Yes, 1.18. Swansea.
You tried to fool me then.
I did.
Okay, I think Swansea's higher.
Yeah, 1.88. Blackpool North, higher or lower than Swansea?
Hang on, Blackpool North?
That's the main train station in Blackpool.
All right, you're just trying to confuse me here. Higher.
Lower. Oh, Ed, you're on a real good streak there. Bournemouth, higher or lower than Blackpool, not Blackburn?
What's the number?
Blackpool North is 1.55.
I think Bournemouth is lower.
2.43.
Oh, no.
Norwich, higher or lower than Bournemouth at 2.43?
Higher.
Yes, 3.96. Bristol, yeah. Temple Meads, higher or lower?
Oh, higher.
9.29.
Yeah.
And Newcastle higher. Upon Tyne, higher or lower than 9.29?
No, higher. Like.
Lower, 8.4.
Well,
I'd still say that was relatively successful for you with these quizzes. And just as a bonus question,
yeah,
put these London stations in order of most to least busy.
Yeah.
Euston, Liverpool Street, London Bridge, Paddington, Victoria and Waterloo.
Oh, for goodness sake. Hang on. Okay. I'm going to have to write these down. I mean, honestly, I take these things seriously.
I know.
It's not just sort of like, you know, fly by night, any old what's it. Euston, Waterloo.
Euston, Liverpool Street, London Bridge, Paddington, Victoria and Waterloo.
So six.
Yeah.
Would you want the highest first or the lowest?
Yeah. Whichever way you want to do it.
So the stations are Euston, Waterloo, Liverpool Street, Paddington, Victoria,
and London Bridge.
Oh, lummy. I mean, that is just hard. Euston top,
and then?
Followed by Paddington.
Paddington, and then number three?
Victoria.
Number four?
Liverpool Street.
Yeah.
Waterloo.
Waterloo. And least busy?
London Bridge.
Okay. I can tell you that you have one out of the six in the right position.
G-Shops. Go on, tell me the list.
Okay. Least busy?
Yeah.
Euston.
What?
Number five is Victoria. Number four, London Bridge. Number three, Waterloo. Number two, Paddington. And the busiest station by passenger number is Liverpool Street.
Euston?
Yeah. The least busy out of those ones.
What's the busy mean?
Passengers who use it as a start and end point per year.
Wow. Who knew?
I did. Well, I knew when I decided to look it up on Wikipedia. But it's surprising, isn't it?
Extremely surprised. Were you surprised?
I was surprised.
Oh.
Well, there we go. That was exhilarating, I think.
It was exhilarating. We should say, tell the listeners that we've had technological... Well, we said that at the beginning, but...
But you wouldn't believe it's the worst in six years or 6.5 years or whatever.
Can I just say that I take a little bit of satisfaction out of the fact that you were responsible for at least 50% of the problems?
Oh, probably more.
Which is so unusual.
Yes, I know. I'm going to have to get someone round, I think.
Well, and never mind the person coming round. It just gives me a sort of sense of relief and some moral superiority. I mean, to be honest, I'm hoping you don't get the person round so that I can sort of continue to sort of lord it over you.
Yeah.
Really.
You've got the sense of superiority over the technical issues. I've got my 46-year-old lungs.
Yeah, which is impressive.
Yeah.
I wasn't sufficiently adulatory about.
No, I know.
I'm sorry.
That was a good apology.
Yeah, that wasn't really.
We should give the email address before we go. It's chat@cheerfulpodcast.com.
And we will talk about serious issues, won't we?
Yeah, I've got a bunch of them that I'd like to address in our friendship, our podcasting relationship, and the wider world. So, yeah, whenever you're good to go on those, I'm here for it.
Yep.
All right, have a good week.
Yep. You didn't get it the first
time.
Slow
on the uptake there. Yeah, yeah. All right, fine. Bye.
Yep. Yeah.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.